Thank you for your presence. Thank you for showing up at Rehoboth. Lord, we ask, oh God, that these words be your words, that they find good soil, that they touch some heart, that they change some life. Lord, you said that the words that you speak, they are spirit and they are life. Let your anointed power, hallelujah, go forth right now. Lord God, that it will build faith, that it will touch a life. We give you thanks right now in Jesus' name. Turn to someone, shake their hand and say, I'm glad I'm here. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, if you're a visitor, if you could hold your hand up, we want to make sure that we get you the bags, our gift bag. Amen. Oh, they have them? Okay, great. Amen. Well, if you could pay me attention, I won't be very long. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39. This is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Jumping down to verse 42. He went again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And the title of my message is Drinking from the Cup. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. I don't know if this will be a kind of shouting message. It has a happy ending. Amen. It has a good ending. But drinking from the cup is usually something we don't want to do. Jesus was facing the cross, crucifixion, torture. And he knew exactly what it was he was facing. And just like any of us, he didn't want to go through it. Right now, many of you may be facing some situations that you don't know how to deal with, that you are lost in, and you don't know how you're going to get through it. And sometimes we pray that God takes away the cup from us, that he removes it. But sometimes he's telling you, you're going to have to drink this cup. You're going to have to drink this cup. And most of us don't want to do it because it's not a pleasant cup. Jesus was facing some torture. He was facing some whipping. He was facing some hits, some blows. He knew in detail what it was he was facing. He was, in fact, facing the cross. He was facing the cross. But as I've taught before, I don't even believe it was the physical pain that he was concerned about. It wasn't the nails, I don't think. It wasn't the whipping. It wasn't the crown of thorns. There was something that I've said before that Jesus had never experienced. That he had never experienced. And it was sin. The Bible said, he who knew no sin became sin. He had never experienced what it was to feel a separation, being alone in spirit. And that was what he was facing for the first time. Luke chapter 22 and verse 44. When we're facing our situation, a lot of us, we pray the more. We cry to God the more. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. I don't know what you are facing today. Maybe some of you are facing sickness. My daughter is facing a very serious operation, a brain surgery this month that could be deadly. But you know what? I'm going to pray the more. I'm going to pray the more. And being in an agony, if you're going through a situation, you know what agony is about when you don't know where to turn, where you can't turn left, you can't turn right. There's nobody to help you. You may be right now in your Garden of Gethsemane. Your friends, the disciples, are falling asleep. You ask them, could they pray with you? But they fell asleep. Three times Jesus came back to his friends and they were asleep. You may feel all alone and you may be asking God, please, I don't want to drink this cup. Is there another way I can get out of this situation? Have you been there? Have you been there? I've been there where there was no other way out of the situation. I'm telling you, if God says, nevertheless, you have to drink this cup, drink the cup. Drink the cup. It was not, I think, the physical pain, because he had had pain before, maybe not as great as what he was facing. It was not the nails. There's people in the Philippines today who are nailed every Easter. They let themselves be actually nailed to a cross. It was something he had never experienced, and that was the sin of the whole world. Your sin, my sin, sins we haven't yet done, of every single human being was going to be placed upon his body. The Bible said he was in agony because he who knew no sin became sin for you and me. There was a cup he had to drink, and there was no way out. He prayed, if it be possible. Many times we've prayed that prayer. Lord, I don't want to go through this. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. Lord, can there be some other way? But sometimes the way out is the way through. Let me say it again. I know you wouldn't like that. But sometimes the way out is the way through. Sometimes there's only one way, and he will take you through even the valley of the shadow of death. David said, I will fear no evil. Because even when you're going through that lonesome time when there's nobody to help, your disciples have fallen asleep, you can't turn to the left or the right. He said, thy rod and thy staff, they will comfort. Hallelujah. See, he was facing something that we are all going to face. And as much as we pray, we don't want to drink this cup. Jesus said, if you're going to be my disciple, you're going to do what? You're going to have to take up your cross and follow me. What does the cross mean to you? What is the cross you're facing right now? What are you going through right now? Are you yet in your Garden of Gethsemane? Are you praying in agony and saying, Lord, I don't want to drink this cup. I know that there's some cups I'm facing, and none of them look good. But I tell you what, we always want the blessing. We want the power. We want the miracles. Well, then you're going to have to drink the cup. Because there's going to have to be a point where we say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. That's the greatest thing any human being can say, if you mean it. See, many of us say, Lord, whatever you want, I'll do. But when it comes to it, we always back out. We change our minds. But if you can come to the place where you say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done, you have achieved power. Because what that tells me is Satan can't do nothing to you. He has no more power because you have been obedient even to the death of this flesh. You need to be obedient to the death of your desires, the things that I want that don't match up with what God's desires are. We have to kill it. We have to put it down. It's not a cup I want to drink, but we want the miracles. We want the glory. We want the healing. We want the deliverance. Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. You're going to have to deny some things that you want. You're going to have to deny the things that the world offers. You're going to have to deny the things that look good. You're going to have to deny the things that are pleasant and feel good, because you can't follow Christ and do those things. You're going to have to drink the cup. Jesus could not get out of what he had faced. He was facing a cross, and he tells us that each and every one of us are going to also have to face a cross. There's no easy path. You know why? I preached it before. We're on enemy territory. If you're on enemy territory and you're wearing a uniform, as I preached before, you can't be surprised that you're getting shot at. Surprise, surprise, the devil wants to kill you. Are you in Christ's army? They teach in Sunday school, I'm in the Lord's army. Well, if you're in the Lord's army, you're going to get shot at. You know, when you're in Afghanistan or Iraq, They wear vests. They got the bulletproof vest. They've got the helmet on. But as I preached before, we go about and we forget that we're in a war zone. We're being attacked by Satan. And there's going to come a time when we're going to have to pick up our cross and follow him. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross. We always want to take up the other person's cross. That beautiful silver cross or the gold cross. It's got all those jewels. Lord, if I have to carry a cross, why I got this big old ugly wooden one? Truth is, we couldn't pick up the gold cross. be too heavy for us. It only looks good, but you couldn't even pick it up. You see, there's going to have to be a time when you're going to have to drink from that cup. As much as we don't want to go through some tribulation, Jesus said, you're going to have to take up your own cross. He said, if they do it to me, they're going to do it to you. And yet we are so surprised. We are going to have to drink from that cup. For whosoever, verse 25, will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. When we come to that point where we're willing to be sold out to Christ, when we're willing to say in the garden, Lord, I don't really want to drink this cup, but nevertheless, let's say, nevertheless, nevertheless, you need to tell Satan, nevertheless, I'm going to drink the cup. You see, there is a blessing and deliverance in drinking the cup. We are going to have to face our own Golgotha. We're going to have to face, we don't want to hear this, but it's the truth. Jesus said, if you're going to follow him, you're going to have to take up your own cross. I can't take up my dad's cross, my sister's cross. I've got to take up my own cross. My cross may be different from yours. I'm going to go through some different tribulations than you. But nevertheless, Satan, I'm not going to get ask God to completely go against his will. I'm going to submit to his will. See, part of the cross is feeling alone. There was a part when he was on the cross where he cried out. In Psalms 22, verse 1, it was prophesied exactly what he would say. It says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You're in the midst of your trouble, and you've been praying, and you're in agony, and it feels that God is a million miles away, because this is part of the cross experience. You're going to have to go through some time when it seems as if your prayer isn't answered. Well, Martha, we sent for Jesus 2 days ago, and he still hasn't come. There is going to be a part of the cross where you're alone, where your disciples have forsaken you, where there's no one else to help, but you have one thing you can still do. You can cry out. On the cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? There's times when we pray and it seems that God is not listening. You know why? Because you've picked up the cross. You're going through that period on the cross where you go through the alone part. There's a section where you're alone, where he, even Jesus, had to cry out because at that moment, the sins of the whole world were placed upon that one body. And he felt God forsaken. The flesh felt separated from the spirit. And there's going to be a time when we don't seem that God is listening to us, that we're going to cry out, why, Lord, have you forsaken me? But you know, in another scripture, he said he will never forsake or leave. It's only the devil. It's only this flesh. You got to drink the cup. Hallelujah. So part of the cross is feeling alone. Don't be surprised. You're going to go through a part when you're on that cross, when you're going through your pain and suffering, when it seems as if God is not answering your prayer, when it seems as if things are going even worse, when it seems, as I've said so many times, Lazarus has died and Jesus is still way over in Galilee. He hasn't even come. It looks like he's not answering prayer. But I tell you what, after the cross, there is a resurrection. After the cross, there is a deliverance. After the cross, there is a time when the angel will come and roll away your stone. You see, the cross is only for 3 days. The grave was only for 3 days. You know, as people have said before, the testimony, there's a part there that says the test. Before the victory, there's got to be a battle. And so before the resurrection, there has to be a death. This person that's this flesh that wants to do all kinds of stuff has got to die. We have to pick up the cross. We have to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. We have to go through those periods when it seems we are alone and no one is listening. God is far from us because even Jesus on the cross cried out, why hast thou forsaken me? Have you been there? Have you been there where you feel as if God is not listening to your prayer? All it means is that you've got your cross, that you've been nailed to the cross. You're going through your alone time. But there was a time when at the end he said, it is finished. No matter what you're going through, if it had a beginning, it's got an ending. If it had a start, it's got a completion. There is coming a day when he will be able to say, it is finished. There's coming a time when it's going to be an ending. There's going to be a time when you see light at the end of the tunnel. You just have to endure to the end. That's what we have to do. We're going to have to drink the cup. See, the cross is taking the cup. He said, "Father, I don't really want to drink this." And as I said, it was probably not the pain, the torture, the beating, because although that was severe, it was something that maybe he had been through before. The Bible says he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. He didn't just suffer grief at the cross. It wasn't just there that they had called him names and said, we know who our father is. You don't know who your father is. They knew, they were calling him, in other words, illegitimate. He had been spat upon before. He had been tempted before. But he had never experienced that feeling that we as humans go through so often when we're going through our cross, is feeling alone. A man of sorrow, despised and rejected of men. Hallelujah. The Bible said he hath borne, surely he hath borne our griefs. I'm telling you, that's the good part of that verse. It says, surely he hath borne our grief. Hallelujah. No matter what you're going through right now, your Garden of Gethsemane, you may be facing the cup. You may be praying in agony. The Bible said he prayed as if drops of blood. He was in so much torment because he knew he was facing something that he had never experienced. You may be facing something right now that you don't know how to deal with it. You may be feeling alone when you pray. It seems that heaven is silent, but I'm telling you, it's just your alone time. It's part of the cross experience. But the good thing is, after a crucifixion, there is a resurrection. See, there is a price to be paid for following Jesus. There is a price to get on his side of the line, because Satan doesn't like you. He hates you. He would like to see you dead because you're on his territory and you're leaving his kingdom. See, there's a price to get miracles. There's a price to have the blessing of God. There is a price to sit on his right hand or left hand. And I'll tell you what it is, if you're going to have to drink the cup. Mark chapter 10, verse 37. Two of his disciples came to Jesus and said, "You know what? We want the place of honor. We want all your power. We want the place of prestige. We want to be acknowledged by men. We want all of the blessings and the fullness of God." They said unto him, "Grant us that we may sit, one on your right hand and the other on your left hand, in thy glory." Oh, that sounds so good. "Lord, we're your disciples. Just seat us in the best places." There's a cost. There's a price. You're going to have to pick up your cross. This is what Jesus said. "You know not what you're asking for." You want the miracles. You want the power. You want the blessing. You don't want to suffer. You don't want to drink the cup. You know not what you ask for. Can you drink the cup? Can you drink the cup? That's what he asked them. Are you going to be able to drink the cup that I'm going to drink? See, here's the point. We pray to get out of trouble, but sometimes we're going to have to drink the cup. Jesus said, "You want all these things. You want to be seated on my left and right hand. You want the glory. You want the power. Can you drink the cup?" Have you got a made-up mind today? If you're going through your alone experience on the cross, don't be surprised. Jesus went there before you. "He know not what he asked. Can he drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" And they said unto him, "We can." Those were bold words. God is asking you the question today, can you do it? What is your answer? Can you, like those two disciples, say, "Yes, I'm going to do it, Lord. Peter, I'm going to die with you, Jesus. I'm never going to leave you." Jesus said, "Before the cock crow three times, you're going to deny me." See, we all have these promises, but without the Lord's help, we can never fulfill them. I'm trying to tell you today that whatever you're facing, whatever cup you're facing, if God does not move it out the way, understand that all things work together for the good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. No matter what Gethsemane garden you are in right now, no matter what agony of prayer you're going through, you got to end up that prayer with saying, "Nevertheless, nevertheless, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." As I said, you want deliverance, you want healing, you want blessings. You're going to have to deny yourself, take up your own cross, and follow him. You got to be prepared to die for this thing. There are Christians right now in countries that are being actually crucified. Actually beheaded for the name of Christ. And we complain because the weather is too cold. Because it's wet, I can't come to church. That's not much of a cross. I'm telling you, it's time to get serious because we're going to have to drink a cup. The only way you get to sit on his right and left hand, he says, can you drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I was baptized with? But you know, these disciples were bold. They said, yes, we can. I think that was Obama's statement. But we have to take that back and say, yes, we can. Hallelujah, yes, we can. But this means that in your garden, you're going to have to end up your prayer, no matter what you're praying for, no matter how much it hurts, you're going to have to say, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Can you drink the cup? Jesus asked his disciples, can you drink the cup? Can you walk the walk? We love to talk the talk, but can we walk the walk? We can say, yes, Jesus can keep you. He can do all these things. But when it comes to us, when it's our time in the garden, in fact, that's what they said. He saved others. Let him save himself. But he said, for this cause have I come. If you have come today for this cause, then Jesus says, not me, you're going to have to take up your own cross. That could be sickness. That could be persecution. That could be all kinds of family situations. And it may not be something that's very nice or palatable, but you're going to have to drink it. You can ask him to take it away, but if he says, this is it, you're going to have to end your prayer with nevertheless. But here's the great thing. With every crucifixion for Christ, there comes a resurrection. Hosea chapter 6, verse 2. Here it was prophesied. After 2 days, he will revive us. Every single person in the Old Testament that was called of God, that had a relationship, saw and believed in the resurrection. They all had their crosses. David was in hiding from Saul for many years, hiding and running away for his life. He didn't just become king just because he was anointed and filled with the oil. When he was 17. It was 33 before he became king. Do you understand? He had to carry a cross for a while. He was running for his life. He had to go and play mad for a while. He had to go live with his enemies for a while. I'm telling you, you don't become king just because you got the anointing. You have to drink the cup. You have to do what Jesus did. He is our high priest. He's our example. He's our leader. And wherever he goes, we're going to have to follow. If you will follow me, you're going to have to deny yourself and pick up your own cross. I don't know what your cross is. Some crosses are heavier. I look at some people and I wonder how they make it. I don't know how they make it. But you know what? The Bible says he will not give you more than he can carry you through. That's paraphrasing. But he is able to save to the utmost them that come to him. Hallelujah. And my favorite verse in the Bible, unto him that is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless. You see, he can help you with that cup. You may not want to drink it. It may be bitter. It may be terrible. But he has been through what you have been through. He is able, the Bible says, because he is a high priest that can be touched with our infirmities. He understands your weaknesses. He knows what you're going through because he had his garden experience. After 2 days, he will revive us. And then there comes a resurrection. There comes a resurrection. There's going to be a deliverance. There is going to be a resurrection. And on the third day, he will raise us up. And we shall live in his sight. This was hundreds of years before Jesus was born. It was prophesied. On the third day, he's going to rise us up. You just have to wait and start counting through your tribulation, through your cross experience. Day one has come, okay, two more days. Day two has come. There's a third day coming when you're going to be delivered, when you're going to be resurrected, when you're going to see him as he is. Hallelujah. You can stand with me. Amen. The cup was not just for Jesus. That's what this whole message is about. We think that the cross experience and the cup was just for him. 1 Corinthians 11:25. On Thursday, we're going to have communion. After this manner, also, he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. See, the cup represents something. It represents suffering. The only way you get blood is by cutting something. Is that right? This cup is my blood. That's what he said. The New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Because he did it, we're going to have to do it too. He said you have to drink the cup. As much as we don't like what we're facing right now, you're going to have to drink the cup. I know I don't get a lot of amens about that. All I can tell you is that on the third day, there will be a resurrection. The Bible said the angel of the Lord came down. There was a great earthquake and rolled away the stone. You know what was in there? Nothing. He'd already gone. He didn't need the angel to roll away the stone. The angel rolled away the stone to show everybody he was gone. Because he said, no man taketh my life. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it back up. The Bible says, if this same spirit that was in Christ Jesus shall dwell in you, it shall make alive, quicken your dead situation, your dead body, your sickness, your family situation. And then there will be an earthquake. On the third day, he's going to rise us up, and we're going to live in his sight. The question is, you want the glory? You want the seat? You're going to have to drink the cup. Now, when I was small, there were some home remedies that mothers used to give. Olive oil. Anyone remember that? Was it just me? Olive oil was for everything, no matter what. Everything, it was olive oil. You got to take the olive oil. Cod liver oil. Cod liver oil. You had to take the tablespoon of that. They would hold your nose. I don't know if it worked or not, but I tell you this, the cup that Jesus gives us, if we will drink it, hallelujah. It may be bitter right now. You may go through that alone phrase on the cross, but I'm telling you, there's coming a resurrection. Your situation, though we are dead, yet shall he live. We're going to have to drink the cup. Hallelujah. These altars are open. I know it wasn't a shouting message, but I wanted to tell you that your situation, no matter where it is, if you're going through your Garden of Gethsemane right now, don't be surprised. If you're praying, Lord, I don't really want to drink this cup. If it's God's will, he may remove it. But you got to end that prayer with saying, nevertheless, Lord. Nevertheless, because he said, if you do not drink this cup, you have no part with me. If they've done it to the master, they're going to do it to the servant. And in this life, you shall have tribulation. But I like this part. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, and so can you. We're going to close this service, but I just want you to think about this word. You're going to have to drink the cup. My cup may not be your cup. But whatever it is, he said, you're going to have to deny yourself, take up your own cross, and follow me. I'm telling you something, and it's not because I'm the pastor of this church. But Rehoboth, I'm going to tell you a secret if you don't know it. It's a spiritual healing place. All of us have wounds. All of us have been hurt. But this place is a spiritual healing place. It may not have a red cross on the outside, but I'm telling you, that's what this place is. And if you will let the master surgeon, the master doctor, work on your heart, he's got some medicine. It's a cup. It may be bitter. It may be bitter. But when he gave the cup to his disciples, he said, drink ye all of it. Drink ye all of it. We're going to close this service. If you could close your eyes right now, bow your head. Father, we ask you right now, Jesus. Lord, we are many of us in the garden with you. We're facing some difficult things we don't want to deal with. We're facing some trials and tribulations that we don't know how to handle. And we don't know whether to turn left or right. Lord, we really don't want this cup. If it be possible, will you take it away?